am Caliph Saf Natania El, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Listen. Selassie, 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 hello, baby.
It's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act.
How sweet it is.
If you've been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Greetings, everyone. I am Khalid Safnapania L, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. We got some interesting topics tonight we're going to talk about, and we're going to have a healthy discussion here for about an hour. We're going to run through this kind of very quickly tonight because we have a lot of information to share with you and things to talk about from the perspective of this document that we call the Bible. And to you, Eladia, how are you doing, girl?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How about you?
Doing fantastic, all right. I haven't seen any of our other normal co-hosts that are with us in the room just yet. When you see them, give me a shout-out and let me invite them into this discussion. But I'm going to start to jump right into this discussion here tonight, because last week we started looking at something in the book of Revelation concerning the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the necessity for us to understand what that Lion of the tribe of Judah really was. And we covered many topics on last week, and we kind of closed out letting everyone know that we are in an exciting time, that the energies are coming in to the earth. The earth's frequencies and vibrations, the Hertz level of the earth pulse, will become higher and higher. We should be ready by September to start manifesting heaven on earth for those that are ready. How exciting it is to be alive. How exciting it is to be alive at a time when the energies that are coming into the earth will change this planet forever. Everything on this planet and everyone in this planet and on this planet will change. These energies are coming in. And we're going to talk, Vajay, I want to talk tonight about many subjects. I want to kind of just jump into it and start talking about why church has become an occupational hazard. I want to talk about justice for Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, he's in the news. I want to talk about the flag. I want to talk about the economic crisis. I want to talk about the natural disasters, the weather patterns, the ecology. What is happening with our ecology?
Wow.
What is going on with our ecology? What is going on with our economy? What are these volatile, these roller coaster-like moves that seem to be corresponding between the ecology, the weather patterns, our environment, and then the economics? The stock market shut down because of what they say about a virus or some kind of glitch that hit the computer system, shutting down the Wall Street Journal, causing the markets to shut down and slamming the Asian markets and slamming the European markets. What is going on? What is happening? What is happening with Bill Cosby? What is happening in our Supreme Court? What is going on? What are these shifts that we see? Our Supreme Court now has legalized same-sex marriage. Is there some context for understanding what we are seeing with all of these changes that is outside the scope of what we hear on the news? I think tonight we're going to get some of those answers. We're going to be able to look at what is going on. And I just want to kind of jump into it because we started talking about the importance of the seven seals that were in the back of the book in Revelation chapter 5. Those seven seals that are in the back of the book in Revelation chapter 5 are spoken of in different places, but under different metaphors. It's spoken of in 2 Kings under the metaphor of a man named Naaman, who was a Syrian general. He was a Syrian general who had contracted leprosy. He was told by a prophet of Israel to go and to dump himself, dip himself in the Jordan River seven times. That's another metaphor. That's another metaphor for the seven seals that you read of in the book of Revelation. Another metaphor yet, again, is Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the walls came tumbling down. Those two metaphors point to the one metaphor, which is something that is used to illustrate or to demonstrate a principle. And the seven seals are, as we call them, seven chakras or seven energy centers. And they're located in the back of your spine. Your spine is spiraling, like a spiral staircase. And inside of that, of course, is the central nervous system with neurons and with nerve endings and so forth and et cetera that has electromagnetisms along with the cerebrospinal fluid that goes through there along with different other molecules that make up the molecular structure of your spine. Well, in there is what is called chakras or seven nerve centers. Now, if you would cut someone open and you would look for them, you wouldn't find them because they are not like finding a heart or going back there and cutting them open and finding a set of kidneys or set of lungs or spleen or liver. They are nerve centers, and actually what they do is that the best way to explain it, since there's seven of them, they're like wheels in the middle of a wheel. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Ezekiel, you remember Ezekiel saw a vision with wheels. In the first chapter there, he saw a vision with wheels in the middle of a wheel. Well, you have these wheels, and you have seven of these wheels, so to speak, that are turning. These wheels are influenced by the energies that we were talking about at the onset of the opening of this broadcast. These wheels are controlled by the energies. Now, it is almost, I don't know what word to use, but to think that you can live in a planet with all of this electromagnetism going on around you, the powerful sun beaming its radiations and the moon reflecting its light and the planets in their positions with electromagnetisms, and you're in this planet that's moving around and lots of things are happening right above your head. Sun is moving, the moon is moving, the earth is moving, asteroids are moving, meteors are moving, the galaxy is twirling, making the Fibonacci pattern, there's black holes, all of this tremendous force and power and movement creating friction or creating electromagnetism, creating energy, opposite polarity. It's almost, it goes without saying that if a person has not stopped to take a look at all of this energy and to think what effects this energy may have upon us on this little blue marble ball that we call an Earth that's hurling through space at about 1,000 miles per second. And we think that it has no effect upon our physiology, our psychology, think that it has no bearings upon the electromagnetisms in our brain. Your brain has electric waves in it. If you think that you're living here and these things have no impact on you, I just say to you, think again. Now, what does all of that have to do with all of the subjects that we mentioned earlier with Bill Cosby, with him, with the lowering of the flag, the shooting in the church there in Charleston, South Carolina? What does it have to do with Freddie Gray in Baltimore and the riots and the protests of Ferguson with Michael Brown? What does it have to do with the protests in New York? What does it have to do with ISIS? What does it have to do with the economic crisis? What does it have to do with the volatile weather patterns, as my pastor called me earlier today, just a moment ago before I got on his line, informing me that in California we're about to be hit with a weather pattern. What does all of that have to do? What are these certain bursts of anger and rash behavior patterns that we're seeing? What does it have to do with the Constitution? A shift in the moral compass of this country. Let's take them one at a time. Which one do you want to start with, Elijah? How do we tackle this? Do we talk about the CERN particle accelerator, the most powerful machine ever made, the largest machine in history of the world, 17 miles long? Can you imagine? Can you imagine, everyone, a machine that's 17 miles long? One machine. What kind of power they're trying to harness in terms of accelerating particles and colliding those particles together to create some kind of laser light to shoot into outer space or into the ionosphere or somewhere. What exactly are they doing with this powerful machine, more powerful than nuclear bombs? And so,
what are you trying to do back in Babylon?
I believe so. I believe that the CERN particle accelerator is Babylon. But what are these societal, sociological, political, religious? And we didn't talk about religious. Well, let's start with the church. Why is it all of a sudden an occupational hazard? People are being killed in churches, and churches are being burned. I read today that Joel Osteen had some hecklers to come to his church, and when he stood to read his scripture in his normal fashion. I don't watch him. I don't watch Joel Osteen, but I pay attention to him. Pay attention because he has one of the largest, if not the largest, congregation of assembly on Sunday mornings in America. So I do pay attention to him, but I don't listen to his messages. And that's not to say that one way or another how I feel about his messages. I just don't listen to him. But he had hecklers in his church that had to be removed, six of them, as he attempted to deliver a message. Some hecklers stood up and said, "You lie." And they had to be escorted out. One was escorted out, and they had already planned that when that one would be escorted out, another one would stand and repeat the same similar chant and heckle. That person was escorted out, and then another one would stand. So what is going on? What is causing this shift in people's consciousness? Because now you've got to remember, when I was a boy, we had such a fear, and that's a good word. I want to talk about that. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it. We had such a wholesome respect for what we call places that we consider, even if we didn't go to church, which at some one point in my life I didn't, believe it or not. I've been in church all my life, most of my life. But at least we were taught it was a value, it was a belief in our culture that when you walk by a place that was sanctified or hallowed, as we say, if we were using profanity in the wrong types of languages, we had respect. We thought that if we used a cuss word or profane word when we walked by church, something bad would happen to us. You know, we have respect for it. But that's no longer the case. That's no longer the case. We've had a shift in society. And the thing that has made this happen are these energies, people, that are coming in, and those wheels that we're talking about in the back of your spine. In the back of your spine, those wheels are like circles, wheels within wheels. Each one is a wheel within a wheel, those chakra centers, those nerve centers. The energy, it's energy moving and spinning, and there's energy around the energy spinning. So if you could think of it, and if I can paint a picture with my words without visual aid, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. These, you have an outer layer of energy that's twirling, then another circle of energy that is twirling, then another center of energy inside of that that's twirling. And that's kind of the pattern of the universe. It's kind of like how the universe works. You have Earth spinning around the moon spinning around the Earth, then the Earth is going around the sun, and the sun is going around the constellations. And you have what is called the precession of the equinox. Everything is moving. Everything is spinning in a circular kind of motion. So we're in a cyclical or circular motion. So that same motion is repeated or duplicated inside of us, just like the sun moves around, just like the moon moves around, the Earth moves around. Energy inside of us is moving around. And each one of these centers, and the one that's being affected now, is being affected, and I don't quite know how to get into this a lot yet, but what's being challenged now is that the energies have changed. And let me tell you what the change has been. For the last 2,160 years or so, we were in the age of Pisces, and the age of Pisces was dominated by the gravitational or the energy fields of Saturn. And I want to make this very plain. I'm trying to make this plain. Saturn is that outer layer of that outer circle of the wheel inside of a wheel. The energy centers that you have, the seven that's inside of you, that outer layer. This is rule, regulation, and fear and respect. Now, this is where religion comes in. This is where structure comes in from your family. This is where government comes in. That structure that we were in, that was governed by the values and beliefs in our culture. When Saturn was influencing us, the energies were coming in a linear kind of fashion, in a linear, coming straight down in a line. Now that we've processed out of Pisces and we have moved, as Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said in chapter 22, when you go into the city, you'll see a man carrying or bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house. Now, what house now? Oh, boy, it was a time when I was so dumb that I took this literally. I just have to almost slap myself that I didn't know it. But this is another part of the awakening that I didn't realize that the people that wrote this book, you're talking about the classic Greeks who wrote both the Old and New Testament. And these guys were studying Greek mythology. They were studying the Greek gods, and they were using symbolic forms of writing that if you didn't understand the language culture, you wouldn't have any idea of what they were talking about. And if you take what they said literally, you actually missed the boat. So I could slap myself when I actually thought and did not understand the symbolism of Luke, chapter 22, verse 10, where it says he sent John and Peter, two fishermen, two fish. And the symbol of Pisces is two fish. Right. Now, this is what's going to get church people in trouble. Let me tell you why it's going to become an occupational hazard for church people. And what's going to happen is as people begin to wake up and understand that they've been given a story and Greek mythology that they were told to take literally, which really are symbolic in meaning, understanding that Peter and John, two fishermen, were symbolic of the age of Pisces.
Wow.
And when the age of Pisces is over, they are to follow this man bearing a pitcher of water who's obviously Aquarius, which is in a constellation in the sky above your head. And this is the very thing that's going to get people in church in trouble that continue to preach a story as people begin to wake up.
Absolutely.
People begin to wake up. Wake up why? How and why? Well, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, that knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase. It said the book, seal up the book until the time of the end. And at the time of the end, unseal the book. And knowledge of what is the book? Your body. The book that's in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, the book of life. It's not some book somewhere with some angel that's some kind of heavenly stenographer that's writing down everything that you do and recording every thought that you have. No, your body is the book. And your body is recording every thought that you have. It's recording every action. It's recording every deed you do through the molecular. It's writing it down in your cells, in your tissue. It's writing it down in your DNA. It's the frequencies of writing down every thought that you have in your body. That's why it's so important to watch your thoughts, because your thoughts will affect your body and your temple. And those thoughts also have another effect based upon the quantum field, because everything is connected to each other. On the reality that you create in your life is being created by your thoughts and your subconscious mind. But that's another story. Let me get back to why it's going to become dangerous. Now, as Jesus told his disciples to follow the man into the upper room, this upper room is a picture. It's a metaphor. It's not a house somewhere. Like I preached for 20 years that we're supposed to go in and break some crackers and drink some grape juice and serve what we call communion. When I was a boy back in Louisiana, the people used to say, well, I'm going to church to take the sacrament. They meant sacraments, but they say sacraments, but it was sacraments is what it's called. But, you know, we have our slang colloquialisms where we kind of mess up words like girl becomes gal, you know. So, but anyway, he told him to follow this man into the large upper room. Now, that's the constellation above your head. That's Aquarius. That is leading us above the equator in the galactic plane in the Milky Way galaxy, where there is a large upper room. Now, different cultures have spoken of this in various ways. They call it the Golden Age. The Bible calls it the Kingdom of Heaven. We are there. We're in this large upper room now. The sun has pulled us above the galactic equator. We're in the constellation of Aquarius, and Aquarius is ruled by the planet Uranus. Now, the energies that are coming in to our solar system now, that Uranus has moved into position, Saturn, Satan, you ever thought about that? Saturn, Satan. See, the same folk that named the planets are the same folk that put your Bible. Saturn and Satan are the same people. Hello, somebody. I feel like I was in church, like I was looking at y'all, and y'all could say amen. Nobody said anything, so I have to remember I'm on the broadcast. But that's kind of funny. I kind of slipped into a little preaching gear there, Midwest. But do you understand what I'm saying? Am I being perfectly clear? That we are in the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius is ruled not by Satan, but it is ruled by Uranus. Now, the word Uranus, now watch this. The word Uranus in the Bible, in the Greek, not in English, because the Bible wasn't written in English. I mean, come on now. The first English translation of the Bible wasn't until somewhere around 1525. You know, a little less than less than 500 years ago, 400-something years ago. Okay? So that's the first English version of the Bible. Contrary to what a lot of people think, that, you know, English is the language. No, English is not the language that the Bible was written in. If you had been born 500 years ago, you wouldn't have had an English Bible. And you probably wouldn't have had a Bible that was printed by a printing press, because the printing press didn't come into existence until about 500 years ago. You'd had a book that some monk sat in a monastery with candlelight. You know, you didn't have electricity. He's sitting there straining his eyes, trying to copy and write every word for word that gave dedicated their lives. And the poor guy, he was having a bad day, and just depending on what he had eaten or how he had been treated by the people there, I mean, you know, this guy's writing this down. So the book you got that you call your Bible has gone through a lot of processes. But my point is that the Bible was written in Greek, and the Greek word for heaven is Uranus. Uranus. The Greek word for hell is Hades, which is Pluto. So what you have are the planets, Saturn, Pluto, Uranus. You have Satan, you have heaven, and you have hell right there in the planets.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
And the same folk that wrote your Bible wrote these Greek mythologies. Now, what's going to make it difficult is that this planet's energy, as it dominates our solar system, not just our planet now, Uranus, is dominating our solar system and all of the other planets. And the ancients wrote about it in terms of Uranus coming to take his bride back, Gaia, from Saturn, claiming its bride back, which is the planet Earth. And that is what we are seeing happening. Now, the energies that are coming in are not coming down linearly, coming down in a straight line. They're swirling, they're curving, they're doing. So what we see happening now is these energies that, as they begin to affect people and the chakra system, basically your root chakra, which is the bottom chakra at the bottom of your tailbone. These energies now will pop open that seal. The belief systems that have held you in place, the patterns, the things that you believed about religion, you will now begin to challenge. For an example, and I'm going to leave religion and go to something else, you will begin to challenge the fact that they told us that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. You ever heard that before? It's called Pentateuch. Moses is supposed to have written Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They say that those are the Torah, or the Pentateuch. The Torah is another word. The first five books, Torah meaning the law. But Moses is given credit as the author of the first five books. But now, you have a fundamental problem with that. Because when you get to the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, the book that Moses is supposed to be the author of, the book says that he dies. I want to see if you get this, Elijah. The book says that he dies.
He dies?
And when he dies, it says that the children of Israel mourn for him 30 days and then bury him in a certain place, or God buried him on top of a mountain in the bark of a tree. And then it says that something else happened. Now, we're still in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses is supposed to be the author. He's dead, but somebody is still talking.
That's interesting.
He's dead. It says that he's dead. It says that they buried him and they mourned for him 30 days. Who's writing?
That's a good question.
Who is writing at this point? You have some mystery person. Here's another one. The Bible in the New Testament says that the person that wrote most of the New Testament by the name of Paul, some 13 books by some account, some give him credit for more or less, he wrote more than half of the New Testament. He's supposed to be this highfalutin, potentate religious leader, a Pharisee. He's a doctor of the law, according to his own testimony, and his ministry or tenure or parish was in Jerusalem, according to the book of Acts. Now, he's a Pharisee. He's a religious leader. He's a big wig in the church organization. No structure, infrastructure there at Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is not all that big. We're not talking about Dallas Metroplex, or we're not talking about a metropolitan city. We're talking about Jerusalem. There are no suburban annexes to this. And there's one central temple and all of this and so forth and et cetera. Now, this Paul, who, according to the book of Acts, was there in Jerusalem, was there at the time that Jesus went to this temple, and he ran the money changers out of the temple. He was killed there in Jerusalem, and all of this events that went around the gospel story concerning the Passion Week and the crucifixion of Christ, they're occurring right there in Jerusalem. And Paul, according to his testimony of the book of Acts, is a leader in the religious structure. But yet he writes over half the New Testament, and he never mentions any of the details that are surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus, other than the fact that he was dead and he was buried and he was raised on the third day. He never mentioned the fact that this guy, now he's a leader in the church, and we're not talking about Potter's House or Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church, where there's thousands and thousands and thousands of members. We're talking about Jerusalem 2,000 years ago in a temple where, you know, not all these people gathering every Saturday, because they didn't even go to church on Sundays back then. And Paul is a head leader there. Matter of fact, he's a part of an organization that put together a conspiracy to assassinate him, and he never mentions the fact that he was part of that same council. And he yet, by his own testimony, says that he was a Pharisee of Pharisee, which meant that he was a leader of leaders, and he was part of the very council that issued the hit on Jesus, but yet he never mentions it, and he wrote over half the New Testament. Oh, wow, Houston, do we have a problem. This guy does not even talk about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Here you are, a part of a committee that puts out a hit on this itinerant local minister, and this cat has raised some people from the dead. He's even walked on water. And then you come back and become one of his followers, and you never mention the fact that this guy that was killed by the very committee that you were a part of, you never mention the fact that he walked on water. You never mention the fact that he was born of a virgin. something is not jiving. People are going to start asking questions, people. When we realize that this book was not written to be taken literally, and we have awakened, and we have awakened because the seal in the book of Revelation, the seal, the seventh seal, that bottom chakra, because of the energies of Uranus, have popped that seal and broken that seal. And we are no longer moving in the energies of Saturn, in the fear of religious dogmas and doctrines. It makes it a very dangerous thing to be caught in deception in these churches now, because people, now this energy is going to do something else. It's not only just going to make people awaken, it's going to drive people crazy.
Yes.
This energy that's coming in now, if this is why we have this event coming up, because we want to build capacity to be able to receive these energies and to have these energy centers, these chakras in our bodies, we want them to open. People are not only going to buy the religious lies, they're not going to buy the political lies anymore. They're not going to buy the social lies anymore. I mean, come on for a minute. Let's move to Bill Cosby. Let's think about it for a second. I mean, Bill Cosby had a hit show, made him a billionaire. He had the Huxtables, which was a model family with model, traditional, conventional family values of a husband and a wife and a child. They're professionals, and they had this show, so forth and et cetera. And it came out an era on the heels of J.J. and the Good Times and the Jeffersons and, come on now, the Brady Bunch, and before that, Leave It to Beaver, the Cleavers, and A.B. and Opie and the Andy Griffith, you know, the family values. But something has shifted in our family values now. Something has shifted. Something in the mindset of people has changed. Those shows are not popular anymore. Now we got queer like straight guys on television.
Yeah.
We have scandal where the African-American woman is working in the White House and she's having an extramarital affair. I'm getting to where I want to be here. I'm moving kind of slow. Things that we wouldn't have thought about putting on television because the belief and value system was held in place by the energies that were coming to the planet, and it kept people inside of this box or inside of this circle. Now that Saturn has moved, the square planet of Saturn has been pulled out and is no longer dominating our solar system, and Uranus now, people now, they're beginning to have a shift in their consciousness in terms of what they believe. In terms of what they believe. Housewives of L.A., preachers of L.A., I mean, preachers of Housewives of Atlanta, bored housewives looking for extramarital affairs.
Yeah.
You got all kinds of shows out there now. All kinds of things that are going on.
The Kardashians.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Kardashians. How could we forget them?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Bootylicious Kim Kardashian.
I say that literally.
I mean, not trying to disrespect anyone here on the phone. But, I mean, that's the way it's talked about. These things would not have been accepted. What has made this shift and this change? Yeah. What has made this? What has made people's minds change? What has made it change? Don't just say, oh, the devil. Well, the devil. No. You kind of got it backwards. Saturn and Satan is being pulled out. Uranus, the kingdom of heaven, is coming in. These energies are circling. They're faster. They're creating more vibrational energies in the earth. People of energies and vibrations are speeding up. Their consciousnesses are speeding up right on schedule with what the Bible says. Knowledge will increase. And now some people are still stuck. Now, let me say this. Some people are still trying to hold on to Andy Griffith and A.B. and Opal and still trying to hold on to the value system of a belief system, a culture that has passed. And that's where the conflict comes in.
Agreed.
That is where the conflict comes in. When you have people trying to hold on to a past culture that the energies that are coming in will not support. So you have racists and supremacists that are trying to hold on to the last vestiges of white supremacy. It won't work, people. It will not work. Now, all due respect to the women, and I could speak to that, and I'm going to get to something here, because I want to talk about weird sex in the Bible. Y'all don't hang up. This is going to be a live one tonight. I'm going to talk about weird sex in the Bible. Has weird sex going on in it, people. Weird sex happening in the pages of that Bible. I mean, we've tried to suppress this and act like that it didn't exist and that people don't have these urges. But listen, let me tell you, when you read that Bible, you'll find out that there's some weird sexual urges going on between the pages of the Bible that we just don't talk. Thank God we have the liberty now to talk about this stuff, because it's past age. We couldn't even talk about it, and we suppress it and hide it. And you know what happens when you suppress an urge that's a natural drive that's happening in every human being? You begin to malfunction, you begin to dysfunction and break down. And so we've seen some vestiges of that right now, because we've been living under this cloak and these chains of trying to suppress some natural urges that we have not been taught how to look at. And we're going to look at weird sex in the Bible in just a moment. But I want to talk about Bill Cosby for a moment. And the reason I want to talk about Bill Cosby in respect of the women, and I could speak to them, could speak to you, speak to the women that are accusing this man, in sympathy and in compassion for you and your situation, understanding, not trying to disrespect the feminine aspect or feminine energy at all. Not trying to do that, because we're going to talk about, maybe if we get to the end, how important these feminine energies are, because that's where we are. These energies that are coming in now are feminine energies, and we're going to touch on that maybe in just a moment. But with no disrespect to the women in your consciousness now, but let Brother Khali try to pull you along to help you understand what's going on with Bill Cosby. Someone called me and said, Bill Cosby got busted. I said, no, he didn't get busted. Somebody snitched on him.
Yeah.
He wasn't busted. He's a part, don't you think for one minute, that Bill Cosby is the only person in his circle, in his culture, that's using Quaaludes. Somebody has decided to bust this brother for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Now, I want to do a little philosophical psychology, because I saw some professional people on the news who were talking about the psychology of a serial rapist and this, that, and the other. You know, they had the makeup with the airbrushes. The stylists had done their hair. They were sitting there in their beautiful suits and ties and looking all professional and polished, and language is correct and using all of the proper, psychological terms put out by the latest psychological periodicals and, you know, with the new terminology that they're using. And I'm sitting there watching all these people. And to me, they're looking like little dolls, little play dolls. And I'm saying to myself, while they're trying to examine what's going on in Bill Cosby's mind and what's going on in the women's mind and what's going on and what we're going to do and all this, and I'm saying to myself, they're dealing with symptoms and not dealing with causes. Bill Cosby is a product of a greater environment that produced him. He is part of the contextual presupposition of a crimogenic society. Now, what did I just say? I used the word. They need to get me on CNN a lot. Yeah, let me interview me. What do you mean, colleague? The contextual presupposition of a crimogenic society. What are you talking about? Well,
explain that, please.
Well, here's what I mean.
Bill Cosby did what he did because the society that we're in is birthed and has the genetics or origin in crime. We are in a crimogenic society. And the context of this and the presupposition of his behavior was dictated by what his umbilical cord being hooked to this mother over here that's crimogenic. It's kind of like saying my mama is a crackhead and I'm not going to be a crack baby. You know, wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You mean to tell me you hooked to the umbilical cord, your mother is a crackhead, and you're getting all of your sustenance, all of your nutrients from this mother, everything that's in her bloodstream, the oxygen, everything, all of the elements, whatever. And here you're not ingesting and not incorporating this chemical that she has in her body called crack in the seminal essence of your fetal development and the gestation. Oh, that's ridiculous. So Bill Cosby is a part of a crimogenic society. Now, I say this in fairness to Bill Cosby, an icon by anyone's standards, an accomplishment. I say this in his defense since I've been sensitive to the women. If you're going to have justice, and if justice is what justice is, and injustice for any man is injustice for every man, then that means that justice for one man means justice for every man. So if you're going to get Bill Cosby, then you've got to go get the CIA. Uh-oh.
Oh?
You've got to go get your government that's putting all of these drugs into the black community, killing all of these black people, and putting all of these drugs into the ghettos of every major inner city in the country, and is at the head of the drug cartel, excluding the Pope and the Roman Catholic the Vatican, that's in charge of all crime on the planet.
You
got it. So if you're going to get Bill, you need to get cleaned out with the CIA. Then the next step, you need to get the pharmaceutical companies that sold the Quaaludes in the first place. Because they're making money. Now we're dealing with causes. We're not dealing with symptoms. Am I sounding like somebody that's mad and crazy and out of my mind? Stop me if I am a lot. You're my only cousin right now. You got to be a balancing check for me. Am I making sense?
You're making total sense to me.
Okay. Well, we might need to open up the Q&A and let someone else talk about it, but I got a ways to go. So Bill Cosby, let's do this justly. And if you're going to bother him about sex, then you've got to go round up all of those Catholic priests. Oh, boy, this is one of my favorite subjects. And this could get me in a lot of trouble, but I'm not scared. Because I've seen everything I need to see, and I've had a little bit of everything, and I don't need to see anything else, and I don't need to have anything else, to experience anything else to say that I've lived. I mean, I've been here for this now, so let me say this and get this out. If you're going to mess with Bill about having sex, you've got to go get those priests.
Absolutely.
That have molested thousands and thousands and thousands of little boys over the years.
Absolutely.
And that have burial grounds in the back of the monasteries where they've been messing with those nuns.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's be real, people. Let's be real. Yeah. Justice for one man means justice for every man. Injustice to one man means injustice to every man. So if we are really going to have justice and do what now, so I'm talking now, not so much to go out and try to start a movement to save Bill. I'm talking about, and even though I do like that song, Don't Mess With Bill, Leave My Billy Alone, Don't Mess With Bill. I wish somebody's going to come and
listen to this and hear me singing that song. But I'll say it again, don't mess with Bill, leave Billy alone. If you're not going to mess with the priest, leave Billy alone. If you're not going to go after the CIA and the FBI and the ATF and all of those departments that put drugs into our communities, guns into the hands of the Mexican cartel delivering, if you're not going to go after those people that are delivering drugs right into our communities that are killing millions of people every year, all right, then leave Bill alone. And I'm speaking to your consciousness now. I'm speaking to your consciousness, meaning that when you listen to all of these airbrushed people who have their hairstylists and their fine suits and they're using their big university terms and psychological profiles, and they psychoanalyze the character of some kind of serial rapist. Come on, let's be for real. We're living in a crimogenic society where this country was founded upon serial rape. Come on. Slavery was serial rape. Don't start me to talking in this room. We don't want to talk about the castration and the rape of this country. And I heard Jimmy Carter talk about the flag. But I want to talk about the weird sex in the Bible.
Okay, we have 4 minutes, actually about 3 minutes before we go off of the air with BBS Radio.
I have 8:51. And my clock says 9 minutes. Let me talk some more. Oh, but we got 5 minutes.
No, it's only 55 minutes. I'm going to go off the air at 5:00. Because we started at exactly the top of the hour.
So well, I've been talking that long. I need to be quiet.
Can you please tell them how to dial in and join us on the other side of the break here?
Oh, my God. Please don't miss me talking about weird sex in the Bible. Weird sex. There's some weird, freaky, deaky kind of stuff going on. Between the sheets in the Bible. Or should I say the camel's hair? There's some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now, you were trying to do some housekeeping. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyone that's listening on BBS Radio side, if you would join us at 712-775-7085 and put your PIN code in when prompted to, it's 568-788-POUND. Our participation code again is 568-788, and that dial-in number is 712-775-7085. And there will be a banner up on BBS Radio tomorrow, or perhaps Saturday for sure, inviting everyone to the Macabre event. And please, Dr. Clay, could you talk a little bit about that before we go off the air with BBS Radio?
Well, the Macabre event is going to be dealing with the very, 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 very special energies that are written in most of our sacred documents, our Bible included, that will come in the middle of, right in July, the last of July, during August, the August period. And I really want to talk a little bit about that, that these energies, when the sun moves into Leo, it's going to be a tremendous time for healing. Tremendous time to open the chakras, a tremendous time for your transformation. We want to help you do that. We put together 3 weeks. I've extended myself into 3 weeks of assisting you to give you the knowledge and to talk about how to open yourselves up to be ready to be transformed to the seventh dimension, not just the fifth dimension. There's people out there talking about the fifth dimension, but moving beyond the molecule, the molecular structure, becoming that translucent diamond crystal beings that we can take any form in any planet, any dimension, any galaxy, any universe we desire. Those energies, I do believe, based upon what I see now, will be coming in this July and August. You need to know how to receive that. We have put together, based upon 40 years of research, our information to help you to make this transition. Not everyone is going to be able to make it. We're going to have to leave some loved ones behind. They're not going to be able to make it.
Yes.
And that they will be okay. But we put this together August the 10th through the 21st. Now, the first 3 days will be 10, 11, 12, and then we'll have 14, 15, 16, and then there will be 19, 20, and 21, those 3 weeks. So plan to make your way to Greenville, Mississippi this August, 10th through the 21st. There's information that can be found at truthdenarmatrix.net concerning this. And also, on my Facebook page. There's information that can be found. There's a flyer up there. You see me standing there with a lion, and it talks about the Heart of the Lion activation. And that is feminine energy. That is love. And let's get the love vibe going. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. I'm running out of time, and I have run out of time. Again, those of you in BBS Radio audience, if you want to continue this subject and talk about what's going on with the Supreme Court and the gay ruling, the gay marriage ruling, and homosexuality, why this sudden burst of proliferation and the weird sex that's going on in the Bible, come on over. 712-775-7085. Access code is 568-788-POUND. Don't you touch that dial. We're coming back to talk about weird sex in the Bible. Play that music.